Hello and welcome to today's episode of the My Faith in Christ podcast. I am your host, Jerry Gibson, and I'm delighted to have you join us for a time of inspiration and revelation. My goal is to help you understand your position and identity in Christ and how to apply that knowledge to live the abundant life that Jesus promised he came to give us. So again, welcome, and let's get into today's topic. Hello, 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 and welcome to today's broadcast. And the topic of the day is we're going to be talking about the freedom from performance and resting in your true identity in Christ. Amen. Getting to the place where you no longer are concerned about the actions you take, the words you say, your attitude, and the idea of trying to live up to God's acceptance. Amen. Because you have been accepted. No longer do we need to tie our identity with, you know, going through a failed marriage or going through trying to achieve accomplishments and not quite make it to where you want to be, and understanding that regardless of even when it comes to missing it, even when it comes to what you may feel, quote unquote, is doing the things that are pleasing to God. Today, I want to help you to understand, based on your true identity in Christ, you are free from that performance-based living. And it's all totally because of the grace of God, and that we live under grace. Amen. And that we're going to explore how our identity in Christ actually liberates us from the pressure of performance and earning approval through works. You know, understanding our identity under grace rather than the law enables us to live with confidence, securely, and with purpose, fully resting. I mean, resting, y'all. I'm talking about no longer just striving to achieve something because you're already there. You know, fully resting in Christ's complete work. You know, in the Bible it says when Jesus hung his head, he said, "It is finished." When not only did he take our sins, our sicknesses, our diseases, our poverty, our curses, not only that, he took our striving, our chastisement, the effort that would go into trying to be perfect. He took it all upon himself and made himself go through those things, made himself poor so that we can be rich. He took on our sins so that we can be righteous. And that's what we're talking about when we refer to the complete work of Christ. Amen. So identity in Christ is the foundation. When you think about your identity, is the foundation of what happened the moment you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Amen. At that very moment, you received the love of the Father through forgiveness. You became righteous and accepted again because of Christ's work, not by works, not anything that we did. So by acknowledging the grace of God on your life, you actually redefine your self-worth and identity. In fact, as we get started here in the book of 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Amen. And then 1 Peter says that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. So think about that. We are to proclaim the excellencies of God who has called us out of darkness. Amen. So here's a question. If he called you out of darkness, why then would he place conditions on us so that we may remain in the light and not go back to the darkness, if you will? Amen. In Galatians, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ." It's Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Amen. Another scripture in Corinthians talks about we walk by faith and not by sight. And here's another reason, because sometimes you don't always feel saved. Sometimes you don't always feel like your new identity in Christ. Amen. Sometimes it's difficult to break free from the pull of the pressures of life and demands of people. And sometimes, and especially some of those who are closest to you, who don't quite understand that you've changed, who don't understand why you're not hanging out, wasting time doing nothing. Amen. Watching things you used to watch or going places you used to go to. It's not that any of those things are bad or wrong. It's just that you've identified yourself with Christ and no longer identify yourself as doing the types of things that really were unfulfilling, that really had no purpose, that really had no meaning or value to you. Amen. And sometimes it's that the devil will play tricks with our mind and try to have us thinking that we feel inferior to some degree, or like we feel like we're better than others. Amen. The traditional ways of thinking will have us to even exemplify that to a certain degree, and yet also use that to turn around and accuse you of not living up to who you are in Christ. Amen. And in the book of Ephesians, it says that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that it is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So here's another question. Since you could not save yourself, why do you try to keep yourself saved? By performance-based living, by trying to live up to a certain standard based on what you do. And then when you don't do those things, amen, you feel like you let God down to a certain degree. You know, the problem with the struggle with performance-based living is that the exhaustion of seeking approval through works. And then there's this the misconception of identity through achievements or religious performance or external validation. In other words, we many times we will tie our identity with our occupation. You know, you might meet someone out and about. Hey, what do you do? One of the first things you do when you meet someone new is, what kind of work do you do? And so, oh, I'm a plumber. I'm an electrician. I work down at the bank. I'm a teller, bank manager. And then so we tie our identity with our position, not realizing that a doctor is a person who practices medicine. A plumber is someone who goes out and works on the plumbing in a house or a commercial setting. Amen. That's not who they are. Praise God. But again, we have tied what we do with what our identity is. And then when it, especially in hot water, when you look at your achievements as something that you performed and was able to accomplish. So therefore you transition that over into becoming a child of God. Now you're in a situation, especially where the law is taught, that you have this many steps to get into the presence of God, or you take this many steps to become holy, or you go through this class to before you can be baptized, and all these different things that religion will throw at us based on the law or man's doctrine. Amen. So we think, well, we got to perform in order to be pleasing to others in the same way that we had to perform when we were in school. Now think about it. Went through elementary and middle school and high school. It was all about getting those grades. You know, you show up to school, you show up every day, study hard, perform well in the test, you get good grades, you pat yourself on the back, you go on to the next thing. Fast forward, you get into college, it's the same thing. Based on your work that you did with different subjects, you work to get the passing grade, you work to graduate. Again, you find a job, here's your 90-day probationary period. You do this, this, that, and other. You do all these things, you know, check all the boxes. After the 90 days, you probably get an offer for employment. You know, it's the cycle. It's always been the cycle. And then, of course, media, when it comes to sports and media and movies and Hollywood and different things that we've experienced over our lives, it's all the people who get the recognition are the people who have performed or outperformed others. I mean, you got the greatest, the GOAT, you know, when you talk about sports figures like Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan, Tom Brady. You know, Aaron Rodgers can go on. Walter Payton, for some of my old school friends know about Walter Payton or Sweetness, right? And so all of our lives we've been surrounded by and have seen examples of high achievement based on their performance or their skill level or their natural talent. Amen. And so we that natural, it seems almost like it's a natural thing to, okay, now I'm serving God. Here's some, yeah, I got to follow the Ten Commandments. But then what we don't realize, amen, that there's actually over 600 laws that was given that extend far beyond the Ten Commandments. And praise God, again, praise God that because of grace, Jesus came to fulfill the law on our behalf. Amen. And so we no longer have to live by the law. We're under grace. Praise God. You know, we, as you understand your identity in Christ, you see the freedom. I'm free from performance-based living. I'm free from trying to measure up. I'm free from the trap that, well, your faith is not strong enough. Why isn't it my faith strong enough? Maybe you're not reading your Bible enough. Did you go to church every time the doors were open? You know, did you read your Bible 10 chapters a day? You know, you got to get them chapters. And did you pray for an hour and a half every day last week? All these different things conditions that people want to put on you. Praise God. God is an unconditional God. He took care of it on the cross. Amen. The difference between law-based living and grace-based living is just that. You're not having to strive to perform to be accepted. You're already accepted in the beloved. Praise God. And it's Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and 4 says that according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Glory to God. It was God's purpose. He predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood. Amen. It was his will that we be adopted as children. Amen. And it says that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So think about that. Before anything was ever formed, you were chosen to be God's child in Christ. Amen. So you're the fulfillment, A, of God's prophecy, his desire, and his will. So if anyone ever talks to you about asking God for things and they might come up with you, well, it's got to be in God's will to have for you to have that car, for you to have that job, or for you to make that type of income, or for you to marry this person. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, when you think about the fact that God has chosen us before the foundation of the world, and we are now in Christ, glory to God. And when we become born again, the Spirit comes to live inside of us. Amen. So when we pray, we're praying in agreement with what the Spirit tells us to pray, right? And so God is basically answering himself and fulfilling the promise of his will, that once you become adopted into his family, it is then his responsibility to take care of you and to provide for you. Just like the examples that Jesus gave us, and all throughout the parables, he gave us natural examples to explain and help us understand spiritual principles. Amen. So just like you would not... just like you would take care of your children and make sure they're fed, make sure they're clothed and have a nice place to lay down at night, God is going to take care of you as his child. Praise God. I mean, many of us can look back over our life right now and see the hand of God working in our lives and different things that he's gotten us out of and taken care of. And a lot of times we have our angels working for us and we don't know what's going on. Amen. And then when you look at Romans 6 and 14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Again, free from the idealistic of having to follow certain steps to be pleasing to God, because we're under grace. In Galatians 5 and 1 says, that stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So what does that tell you? It says, I've been made free. The yoke of bondage in the book of And Paul calls the letter of the law the minister of death. To teach the law is to minister death. Amen? And so the yoke of bondage is just that, just being slipping into that old way of thinking in terms of pleasing God, slipping into that old way of doubting because we feel like we haven't lived up to a certain performance. In Galatians 3, 24 and 25 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Amen. So therein lies the purpose of the law. Because sometimes it's easy to understand what the purpose of the law, can be confusing to understand what the purpose of the law was if we're no longer supposed to live under it. Well, there you have it. The law was intended to be our schoolmaster until Christ came. Then we might be justified by faith. Amen. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. We no longer need the faith. And not only that, praise God, the law was given to the Jews. The law was never given to the Gentiles. So that brings up a whole other question. Well, if the law was never given to the Gentiles, then how is it then so many people think that we're to live by that? Amen. Again, you have to understand the covenant of grace. A lot of times you'll see that Jesus will say something like, well, you need to, if you don't ask for forgiveness, then the Lord won't hear your prayers, or you won't receive the answer to your prayers. Well, we have to understand that while Jesus was on the earth, he lived under the law. So he was compelled to stand up and teach the law, as it is written, and also to help man to realize that we can't live, measure up according to the law. For instance, in scriptures it says, if your eye causes you to sin, you should pluck it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, you should cut it off and throw it away. For it's better to live, enter into life maimed than to live, than to go to hell and be whole. Amen. So when you think about those scriptures, my whole point is the fact that nobody can live up to that standard. And that's why Jesus came, so that we wouldn't have to. Amen. In the book of Titus, it says, Romans 7 and 6, it says, but we are now delivered from the law, that being dead when we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Amen. And Titus says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Praise God. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Again, we are free from performance, free from the shame and guilt. You know, in the Romans, it says that there's therefore, in Romans 8, there's therefore now no condemnation to him who's in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? There's no you're in Christ, there's no condemnation, because you're walking after the Spirit, or according to the Spirit, praise God, and the Spirit of grace. Genuine transformation through grace your transformation comes genuine through grace than external conformity. There's no level of conformity that's going to make you righteous. In fact, the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteous. So if it was about the law, why would Abraham be counted as righteous? And that was several hundred years before the law even came. Come on now. Amen. So some things that brings up something. What can you do? So good question. What can you do as a child of God to remain mindful of your position in Christ, to remain mindful of God's grace, what it means to be forgiven, what it means to receive the love of God. Amen. Well, how about just some daily scripture meditation, prayer, and getting filled with reaffirmations of truth. Amen. Transitioning from performance-driven faith to grace-empowered living. Praise God. Just get Just even if you have to take baby steps on a daily basis, I'm getting better. I'm not going to let this idea that I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this to get for a relationship. Amen. I'm spending time in the Word today to get to know my Father. I want to know how Jesus would handle this situation. Amen. Praise God. And if you go through the scriptures in many accounts, you will see that where it talks about where Jesus got away by himself to pray. Amen. There was, you know, where he would be prayed all night long. The disciples would be looking for him. He was always someplace by himself praying. Glory to God. And if Jesus did it, and he's the Son of God, how much more should we who are in Christ and have the opportunity to commune with him in such a way, such an intimate way as far as praying and communing with God? Amen. The role of faith in receiving grace is simply to trust Christ's completed work, not personal ability or our performance. You know, this way, and then we could move from condemnation to confidence. Grace removes guilt, shame, and self-condemnation. Amen. You ever make a mistake? You ever do something and realize you made, whether it's a decision or an action you took, and there was an adverse consequence of it, and then you know, you've been around people who would say, "Oh, I was just being stupid when I did that," or "What's wrong with me?" or they would come up with these self-condemning phrases, amen, after the fact. Well, when you allow the grace to remove guilt and understand that God is not mad at you, glory to God, God loves you. So if we can remove that from ourselves, then we're more focused on the love of God. We're more focused on, okay, I missed it. I'm already forgiven. Let me not let that weigh me down. Let me not allow the devil to put thoughts in my mind as to I'm not good enough to be a Christian, or I'm too stupid to live this life, or whatever different tactics that the devil try to throw at you. Amen. Because you can look at grace as practically influencing daily spiritual growth and maturity. Amen. That just takes you from, and the Bible talks about moving from faith to faith. Glory to God, from victory to victory. You know, speaking of self-condemnation, you know, there's a book of Isaiah says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Praise God. Amen. That's an acknowledgement of where we were, not who we are. Glory to God. See that? See it there again. There's nothing we can do in of ourselves to be good enough for God, to be counted as righteous. It all comes down to our faith. In fact, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote over three quarters of the New Testament, he said, "I count all things as loss, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, but that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Amen? So again, even in all the accolades, I mean, people would be in the shadow of Paul. If his shadow would be on them, they would be healed. I mean, they would take pieces of cloth that he had touched, and people would be healed after touching the cloth. You know, he taught the word. He received powerful revelation from God. Amen. Of all the things that he counted all of what he had done as a loss, anything of his own, praise God, he gave it all God the credit because of his grace and love and forgiveness. In 2 Timothy 1 and 9, it says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began." Romans 11, 6 says, "And if by grace, then it is of no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Praise God. Amen. See, when you're focused on grace-based living, you can overcome the legalism and spiritual exhaustion. You know, recognizing and addressing the signs of legalism is only going to come. It's sort of like, you know, people who can tell the counterfeit money from the real thing, they don't spend time looking at counterfeit bills. They study legal bills. They study the actual $100 bills, not the fake ones, so that when the fake shows up, they can spot it immediately. It's the same way with our living by grace and understanding our true identity in Christ. And when we're reminded of that on a daily basis, you can immediately spot when someone's trying to mix in a little bit of law with their teaching or their instruction when it comes to the things of God. Amen. And then you can break free from the religious traditions and get back on the track, because then things are going to happen. You know, we're gonna face difficulties and situations and different challenges that's going to challenge our understanding of grace. But I'm here to tell you, but as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, keep your eyes on Jesus. It's as simple as daily reminding yourself, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing, I'm more than overcomer. Nothing by any means will hurt me. Amen. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am the apple of God's eye. I am the head and not the tail. Glory to God. I shall overcome. Praise God. This too shall pass. God loves me. He wants the best for me. He has promised me a good, long, healthy life. Amen. He has promised me prosperity. Amen. And we look at those promises of God, because in the Corinthians it said all of the promises of God are yes and amen. Praise God. So if you know the promise of God, you can know, and when it says, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory, you're not concerned about rumors or layoffs on the job. You're not concerned about the price of eggs or other different things going on in the economy. You know, when the news comes on, and you probably don't spend a lot of time watching news, but you work with people that do. Amen. You, some of your family members know more about what's going on in the news than they do in their own family. Amen. And they're going to tell you about it. That's the first part about it. But nonetheless, you're free from the dictates of the law or trying to live according to the law. Amen. And then encourage others to live by grace. Amen. And don't fall in line with everyone else who wants to complain about things and spread negativity. Because then, have you ever been around someone who is going through a rough situation and they justify why, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. You know, they talk about, well, this is why that happened. Well, maybe this. And so some of that can rub off on us, where we try to understand why certain things are going on and why certain things aren't happening fast enough for us. And a lot of times it comes back down to, well, I didn't do this, or I could have done that, and I didn't do that. And if I had done this instead of that? Again, we have to stay focused on the main thing. The main thing is understanding your identity in Christ. You're free from performance-based living, and God is going to take care of you because he has promised to take care of you. Amen? So again, you're free from performance and works-based thinking. Follow after grace and know that God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. And praise God and pray that you've been blessed today.
And that's a wrap of this leg of our journey. And although I trust you've been blessed by today's episode, please do me a favor and leave me a comment or perhaps share a different perspective. I also invite you to subscribe so that you are notified every time a new chapter of this journey is released. And together we'll grow in the knowledge and faith of who we are in Christ. Good day and God bless.